Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Brother Dan, in one of his choruses this morning, talked about options. At one point, the chorus said, can't decide whether to stay in the dark or walk in the light. Well, I'll tell you, we're going to be talking this morning about those very two options. If you would like, turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning with verse 19 through 22, in keeping with Brother Micah's Old Testament theme of the last several weeks, 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. The angel's wings are still fluttering. And then the men of the city said to Elisha, please notice, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground is barren. And he, Elisha, said, bring me a new bowl and put salt in it. And so they brought it to him. And then he went out to the source of the water and cast in the salt there. And he said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed this water from there, and from it there shall be no more death or barrenness. So the salt, or so the water remains healed to this day, according to the word of the Lord, which Elisha spoke. Need a bigger table here, I think. We have slide one up on there, brother. The first slide suggests is, you know, God is either the is he the solution or is he the problem? The men of the city said to Elijah, please notice, the situation of this city is pleasant. Well, I would like to suggest to you this morning that Jesus is one of two things to you. He's either the solution or he's the problem. In his first epistle, St. Peter refers to Jesus as the rock. To some, he says he is the rock of their salvation. To the rest, he says, he is a rock of offense, a stone of stumbling. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, told the church at Corinth, the cross upon which Christ died is either the problem or it's the solution. To those who are being saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. To those who are perishing, it is foolishness. The idea was never more vividly portrayed than on the day our Lord died on Calvary's hill. The thief on one side, full of contempt and words of blasphemy, said to Jesus, if you are who you say you are, save yourself and us. Well, I think that we can assume that unless he found repentance not recorded in the holy account, he died that day, dead in his trespasses, his soul remaining under the threat of infinite loss. The one on the other side, with a heart made tender unto repentance, merely asked Jesus to remember him when he comes into his kingdom, To which Jesus replied, "Today you will be with me in paradise." In today's text, the men of the city came to Elisha, the man of God, seeing God as the solution. That, beloved, is a good start. Slide 2, the problem. The water is bad and the ground is barren. Everything looked good, but upon closer examination, it really wasn't all that good. As Micah has referenced many times, roughly 20% of America will find its way into a church today. They will put on their Sunday go-to-meeting threads. They will smile their best Holy Ghost smile so as to portray a pleasant situation. But in fact, for many, things are really not all that good. The other 80% will attempt to make things pleasant in countless ways. But in keeping with today's theme, their water's bad and their turf is barren. In John's Gospel, chapter 4, Jesus speaks of two kinds of water. The water of this world, which satisfies for but a moment, but can only cause us to thirst again, bad water. And the water he provides that becomes within us a fountain of water springing up to eternal life. Good water. Sadie, are you back there? Sadie, yeah. There she is. Sadie, I'm going to make reference to a hymn by Barney Warren. Was he one of the Church of God guys of times past? Yes. Well, there's more hymns in the Church of God hymnal under the authorship of Barney Warren other than D.S. Warner. Barney's number 2. And Barney gives us a hymn that is a timeless hymn entitled Joy Unspeakable. And this is what it says in verse 4. I have found a joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. It is like an ever-flowing well springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory, oh yes, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the half has never yet been told. I guess the purpose of what I'm talking about here this morning is for us to take inventory and determine just what kind of water is really in our well. Slide 3. The solution, part 1. Elisha said, "Bring me a new bowl." A new bowl, brand spanking new. Not remodeled, not reconditioned, not homogenized, not pasteurized, not hypnotized, strategized, or sanitized, but brand new, born again and baptized. Jesus once said, "You can't put a new patch on an old garment, nor can you put new wine into old wineskins." New coat, new wineskins, new creature in Christ Jesus. Nicodemus, a religious teacher of the Jewish law, came to inquire of Jesus one evening. Now, I'm going to give this to you in the PBS version. Does anybody know what the PBS version is? Paraphrased by Sam. You're going to get it in the PBS version. Nicodemus to Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, this isn't my first rodeo, you know. I've been teaching religious law for a long time, and I got to tell you, your religious gig is definitely not straight pin religion. Jesus to Nicodemus. I beg your pardon? Straight pin religion, sir? Yes. That's the kind of religion where you're heading one way and you're pointing the other. Straight pin religion. He says, your gig is definitely not that. I've been checking you out. You're headed in the same way. What's up with that? Jesus to Nicodemus. You need to be born again. Nicodemus, I don't understand. Jesus, I was born right the first time. You need to be born the second time, like I was born the first time. Nicodemus, I don't get it. Jesus said, first time you were born of the flesh. Second time, you're born of the Spirit. It's over my head. Jesus said, well, it's like the wind. You can't see it, but you can sure tell when it's blowing. The evening after Christ's crucifixion, the postulude, I guess you would call that, a guy by the name of Joseph of Arimathea came to Pilate's house to take care of Jesus' body. Our Nicodemus in the story came with him. Now, you know, I don't think Jesus, from the pictures that I've seen, I don't think he was in the Bubba Club like me. But he was a full-grown adult, male adult. I got to guess that he probably weighed at least 170 pounds. Does that sound reasonable? And so Joseph of Arimathea came to claim the body, and I think that he was pretty glad when he saw Nicodemus show up because he was going to need some help. But you know what the holy account says? There stood Nicodemus with a 100-pound sack of burial spices. I don't think he was going to be much help in dragging the body. I can just hear old Joseph now turning over to Nicodemus and saying, Nick, do you think you brought enough burial spice to the burial? Well, pretty extravagant, I guess. Pretty much over the top. 100-pound bag of burial spice. But you know what? You can always tell when the wind of the Spirit has blown upon a soul who is in search of the living God. He invariably goes over the top for Jesus' sake. Can somebody say amen? Yes. Which brings us to the solution, part two. Elisha said, bring me a bowl, brand new, put salt in it. For a little clarification, I think once again we can go to the New Testament, the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus, seeing the multitudes, it says, He went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, the multitude didn't come. But it says that the disciples came to him. And when they came, he opened his mouth and he taught them. Nine times he said, "Blessed are those," and I'm paraphrasing a little bit again, "blessed are those who climb the mountain in the name of discipleship." Blessed are those who go over the top for my sake. Blessed are those who bring 100 pounds of burial spice to the table when 30 pounds would do. And then he began the rest of the day's discourse with these words: "You are the salt of the earth." Joan and I have attended here at First Church for 7 or 8 years now. Probably 8, huh? Would you guess? Probably 8. She don't know either. She's just sitting there with a blank look on her face. Anyway, one of my fondest memories in our days here is what I like to call the tweener days. And the tweener days are the time tween Pastor Jeremy and Pastor Micah. They were glorious days, as far as I was concerned. The attendance remained unbelievably strong. The bills continued to get paid. I had a conversation during that time with Brother Livingston. For those of you who don't know, Brother Livingston is the state pastor here in for the Illinois Churches of God. And Brother Livingston just shook his head. He says, "It just isn't like this." He says, and by the way, he stole our pastor. He says, "When a church loses a pastor," he says, "things just don't happen this way." Here we were, just moving right along. Almost, I said almost, like he had never left. Well, we were blessed during that time with many good guest speakers. One of those speakers, and his name escapes me, I was going to call Bill in and get his name, but I forgot to do it. But one of the speakers was a black man from the Church of God at 95th and Stony Island Avenue, Chicago, Illinois. To put it simply, this guy was a big city gangbanger who had been saved by grace. We were still, of course, in the old sanctuary. I was leading the service, so I was sitting up on the platform, facing the assembly, full house as usual. Our guest was standing in the front row with his young son at his side, probably about 6 years old. We were worshiping the Lord, and here this guy was. Hands lifted up, lips filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, this brother was worshiping the God of his salvation. His young son was looking up at his dad with some kind of hybrid, wide-eyed look of amazement and gratitude that I will not soon forget. Now keep in mind, fathers who are functioning fathers are a rare commodity at 95th and Stony, Chicago, Illinois. The point is this: if God can take a new vessel filled with salt and heal bad water and make barren land fruitful at 95th and Stony, he can do the same thing in Hoopston and the surrounding communities. Hallelujah. Are we to the slide yet where it says the curse is found? I think I missed a slide somewhere. Yes, there we go. Thank you very much. And then they went out to the source of the water, and they cast the salt there, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord, I have healed the water, and from there shall be no more death nor barrenness." Well, folks, excuse me. Jesus, in the days of his flesh, definitely showed us how to live. But thanks be to God, he didn't stop there. After living like none had ever lived, spoke like none had ever spoken, cared like none had ever cared, was a better steward of the gifts and the endowments of the Holy Ghost than anybody had ever been. The fact of the matter is, our Lord was going for the jugular. He had lived and spoken and ministered without sin, and now, by the pure exercise of his will, he was proceeding to the place of sacrifice as the Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish. The problem was sin and the curse that followed. Jesus was going to the source. He who knew no sin was to become sin for us. He was going to redeem us from the curse of the law of sin and death by having become a curse for us. For it is written that cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. From that day, redemption is an accomplished fact. Isaac Watts told us in his timeless hymn, which we like to sing at Christmas, by the way, entitled Joy to the World. We all know that one. This is what it says in verse 3. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He came to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. Oh yes, hallelujah, my emphasis. Far as the curse is found. I'm going to close here, Dan. The close is as follows. And the last slide is, it's an everlasting fix. And so it said in the last verse of our text today, so the water remains healed to this very day. Jesus, on the day of his crucifixion, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. The new covenant of grace by faith was made valid by his shed blood and his broken body. The new covenant is an everlasting covenant. It remains valid to this very hour. Since this is so, the holy account exhorts us, lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance that race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we turn away from sin and we look unto Jesus, not by the arm of our carnal flesh, nor by the exercise of our selfish will, nor by the imagination of our own wicked hearts. But we do it by the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead and made us alive unto the eternal God, giving us eyes to see Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. The Spirit says this morning that there are those today who need to begin with God this very hour. There is a call upon your life. He's speaking to you this morning of righteousness and sin and of the judgment to come. Challenge you this morning to look unto Jesus now, the author of your faith. In the same way, the Spirit also said that there are those this morning that have fallen away. The salt that was imparted to you on the day that you were made a new creature in Christ Jesus has lost its flavor. The faith that was imparted to you in the first hour of his visitation lies shipwrecked. Perhaps there are those that have become like a dog, having returned to its vomit. The fact of the matter is, you have taken your eyes off Jesus, the finisher of your faith. Turn your eyes back upon him. Let him finish what he started. And then, joining with those of us who remain yet persuaded, there is a race which must be run with all endurance. Let us come before him with fear and trembling, yet as with confidence, knowing that the good work that God has begun in us, he will complete it, even unto the day of Jesus Christ. If there are those that need to pray this morning, I would invite you to come. Micah has told me that he stands ready to pray with anybody that needs to be prayed with. I can do the same. Or if you need to see him after the service, why, that'll work too. So having said that, let us close with Paul's benediction to the Hebrews. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.